Why don't you open your Bibles tonight, book of Isaiah chapter 2. Book of Isaiah chapter 2. I want to make two readings with you, two or so readings at length, a few comments, and then we'll be through for our time together this evening. Isaiah chapter 2 is where I want to begin. I invite you to be opening your Bibles and finding that there so you can follow along as well. Good to see you this evening. To our visitors, welcome. And if you are visiting with us tonight, we're on a little bit of a different format tonight, a little bit of an abbreviated service so that we can have our semi-annual congregational meeting where the elders talk to the congregation about what we've been doing and what we have to do in our work together in the next several months. And so that is where we are at in this place this evening. Isaiah chapter 2, I want to begin reading in verse 1. The word which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains, and it will be raised up above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For the law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations, and he will render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Right now, as we sit here together this evening, up in the far northeast corner of the country, is in a sense a gathering of all nations. The Super Bowl, one of the biggest sporting events of every year, is being played at this very moment. The game is just beginning, getting underway here in the next couple of minutes. And of course, there will be a stream of people going into that stadium this evening. And literally from all around the world, nations from all around the world, they speculate as much as a billion people will watch this event. A substantial portion of the entire human population alive at this moment will, in some sense, in real time, participate in this event. An almost technological gathering of all people. And yet, in Isaiah sees a very different kind of gathering someday, in some way, in which not for a sporting event or not for some sort of human celebration or human endeavor, but because of the work of God itself, because of the work of God himself, all nations will be gathered together. And in particular, the idea here that Isaiah has and that God through Isaiah is revealing is what ultimately comes to be embodied in the church, in which all people, all nations are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ. Those who will be made right with God through Jesus will come from every nation, tribe, and tongue. Skin color, race won't matter. Economics won't matter. Education won't matter. Language won't matter. And because God is a cosmic God, an eternal God, when you lived won't matter. Where you live won't matter. It will be an actual cosmic and eternal gathering of all those made right with faith through Jesus from all times and all places gathered together for all of eternity. In the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord, not a stadium, not a city, not a place in this world, not a human work, but God's place will be raised above all hills, and many peoples will come, and they will encourage each other and say, come, let us come together and go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, that he may teach us concerning his ways. And the book of Ephesians has a magnificent meditation upon the nature of the church and upon what on that side of the cross, this side of the cross, Paul can now reveal about what, in a very real sense, Isaiah was seeing in anticipation of all nations, all tribes coming together, being able to meet together with God, and all the things that so typically separate us as human beings, passing away, swords in the plowshares, spears in the pruning hooks, things for peace and no longer for war, because the things that separate us as human beings will be done away with. The book of Ephesians, beginning to read in verse 2, Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 11. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes. I'm going to read here for just a little bit. Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 11. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says about what God has done through Christ in the church. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. Therefore, remember that you formerly, the Gentiles in the flesh, in other words, in the way that the world sees things, you who are Gentiles, you who are part of the nations, you who are not part of Israel and the old covenant people of God, and those who knew God through the law of Moses and through the promises to Abraham. You formerly who were called Gentiles in the flesh, one of the divisions that we make in the world, this side of eternity, who were formerly called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups, that is the nations and Israel, Jew and Gentile, made the two groups into one, broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, swords in the plowshares, spears in the pruning hooks, establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it, that is the cross, having put to death the enmity. And he came and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both, whoever you are, whenever you've lived this side of the cross, however you make your way through this world, through him, we both, whether you're Jewish or Gentile, whatever your race, whatever your education, whatever your language, wherever you come from, it doesn't matter. We both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. It's the house that goes on the mountain of the Lord. And that's what we are being built together as right now. A work, a construction project that began 2,000 years ago is taking place right here tonight in this place. Another brick is being added. Another layer of mortar is being put in. The house of the God himself, the temple of God, is being built in us here tonight, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. It is what God's been up to in Jesus and what it really means. This great mystery now revealed of the church of all peoples brought together under Jesus' lordship in the kingdom of God, which in other generations, Paul says, verse 5, was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Elsewhere, the apostle Peter will talk about how the fact that the prophets who prophesied in ages past, they inquired of the Spirit inspiring them what these things meant, and they were told it was for a generation yet to come. In other words, it was for us. We live in a time, and we are having an experience with God in the church that literally the people of God on the other side of the cross longed for and looked for. And we get to live the reality that they desired. To be specific, verse 6, the great mystery, the great work of God in human history that was not made known until Jesus' cross, his resurrection, and the establishment of the church, the great mystery finally revealed, verse 6, to be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace, this favor from God was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. God's great favor on me, Paul says, God's great grace to me is that he allowed me, he enlisted me to be the one to bring to the Gentiles the message of their inclusion in God's eternal temple as part of the people of God. To bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. Do you realize then what he's saying now, ladies and gentlemen, is that what we are part of right here and right now tonight is literally being witnessed by heaven itself as God's wisdom accomplished through the work of Jesus of Nazareth. The power of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, and ultimately the wisdom of God. God's plan for history and meaning and creation when he made it is being now demonstrated in the church universal and in every local congregation that lives its part and its role in God's story. Heaven is witness. The enemies of God in the heavenly places Satan and those who serve him are witness to what God is accomplishing in us. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose, the whole reason God made creation, God's eternal purpose, which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through him in faith. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are for your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. In other words, everything is created by God. And therefore, everything, if it is to be made right with God, finds its way back to him through Jesus. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. The point for this evening is just really simple and straightforward, having read through that. Having started with Isaiah's great vision and what they longed to know, how it would be accomplished and what it would mean, to Paul's, in a sense here, very powerfully revealing and summarizing what it's all about, what God is accomplishing with the cross. Forgiveness of sins, but forgiveness of sins to what purpose? To the building of his temple out of living stones, his saints, his people. With all humility, we need to remember the astounding thing that we are together. As we look around this room, as we look at the saints that we love and that we know we worship with, do you understand what we are a part of in God's great plan, the manifold wisdom of God in the church? That we are part of something that's literally the eternal purpose of God. That we are part of something that heaven itself can look down. And those who were in rebellion against God, even in the heavenly places, can look down in the eternal and the unseen realm and look down at us and see what God has accomplished. Here in this place, right here tonight, we are God's family gathered. We are God's own temple being rebuilt. We are God's holy nation gathered. If you look around this room, you see we have people from all nations, different ethnic backgrounds, even different language backgrounds, different educational backgrounds, different financial backgrounds. We are what the prophets anticipated and longed for. We are what Jesus died for. We are what God eternally desired. I think that's a useful thing to remember as we come together, as we do a couple times a year for our congregational meeting, that these evenings, as much as they can become every 6 months, just kind of a rote habit, these are not just same old type things. Oh, sure, we will say some of the same things that we always say because we need to be reminded of certain things. But ultimately, what this really is this is an opportunity for us to look around at ourselves individually and collectively and intentionally and consciously consider how together we are doing God's own work in the world, which is what God intended when Jesus died for his church to be established. The elders always put so much effort into getting this evening together to share with us their report, in a sense, to us, because they're willing to be accountable to us for what has been done, and their vision then to share with us for what they would like to see us do together for God's great eternal purpose in the next several months. Now, some things that we talk about are of a practical matter. There's always room for judgment and different judgments about how practically to go about doing it. And certainly the elders are always open to our input, and thankfully so. These are good men who are open to conversation about how we go about this work. But at the end of the day, we must always, all of us, remember what we are about. As Paul put it so well there in Ephesians 3 and verse 21, to God, to him, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. That's ultimately the purpose, and that's ultimately the goal, that what we do in this place may well be our brick, our contribution to God's eternal temple, as all the generations that have come before us have made their contribution, the righteous remnants of the ages past, have in their own time, in their own place, in their own way, made their own contribution to God's eternal temple. May God help us, well, to number one, value the honor and the privilege of being part of what he intended, the work that he purposed when he first made man in his image. that God would actually honor us and consider us worthy to be fellow workers with him in the great project of history. And number two, then, may we, having fully appreciated and trying to get our minds around the unknowable, in a sense, love of Jesus worked on our behalf in the church, may we then humbly embrace our role, whatever it may be, as Paul, as most of us are well aware, talks about elsewhere. Each of us has a role to play. They're not all the same roles. They're not all of equal visibility. They don't all make the same type of contribution. But everybody has a role to play in the body and the work that is to be done. And so may all of us look at the things that the others are going to share with us and think about where our contribution awaits to be made. Because everybody here has a purpose. Everybody here can do something. Even sometimes, even if it's something that seems as simple but really isn't, as simply praying for the elders, for the church, for the members, and for the work that is to be done. But at the end of the day, what an amazing thing it is that we are a part of. The rest of the world is gathering somewhere else in a very real sense tonight for their own purposes. But here in this place, paradoxically at the same hour, God's people gather. As all God's people have gathered ever since the church was first established on the first day of the week, to make their own contribution to God's great and eternal work in the world, leading into eternity itself. What a great privilege. If you're here this evening and you're not a part of God's people, we want to give you the opportunity before we end this evening to think very carefully about your situation, your relationship with God. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have an opportunity to do that tonight. If you're willing to come forward and confess with your mouth what you already have learned and studied and come to full assurance in your heart that Jesus of Nazareth is in fact God made flesh, the only begotten Son of God. If you're willing to come forward tonight and make that good confession with your mouth before these witnesses, having in your heart repented of your sins and your way of life in the world with full determination to break with the past and live your life according to the law of God that's going forth from Jesus of Nazareth. The teachings of Jesus are now your standard, the way of the world no longer. We'll baptize you for the forgiveness of your sins this evening and you can become part of the people of God. You become a part of the church of God's eternal temple. His dwelling in the Spirit. If you're here this evening, you're a child of God already, but your life does not reflect the commitment you made when you obeyed the gospel. Pray to God for forgiveness. Whatever it is that's in your life that ought not be, pray to God for forgiveness where you sit this evening. If it's something you'd like to share with us, you need to talk to us about, maybe something that has brought shame upon this congregation, maybe it's something you'd like for us to help you with and encourage you with and help you overcome in some way, whatever we can do to help you, why don't you come talk to us right now while we stand, while we sing.